Okay, I'm going to assume that we are on page 20. The line starts, HaKadoshes Hashem, and Lachin Amar Rizal. Okay, we said that the three garments of the animal soul provide a vehicle for the klippos, and that everybody has the potential of overcoming those klippos. Lachin Amar Rizal. Therefore, our sages say, Shafila Echad Sheyeshiva Esek V'Teder Shechina Shurya. Even if one person is sitting and occupying with Teder in Teder, so the divine presence is resting opposite him. It says Shaina Va'Imer Kenagda. He's sitting and learning opposite him. V'Kol Be'Asara Shechina Shari Lo'Elam. And anytime you have 10 Jews together, so then you have the divine presence, regardless of what those 10 Jews are doing. Even if it's something like every Pistons game, you have the divine presence.
Really?
Yeah. You got 10 Jews in one room. They're all focused on the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't help the Pistons at all.
But,
but you do have the divine presence resting there. And such
that
extent.
No, that I didn't know. Interesting.
Yeah. Now, if the the 10 Jews happen to be sitting and doing some Dover Shiba Kedusha, like a minion or learning, then it says that even the Malachi Hashareis are not allowed to be present there because of the great revelation of Shechina that is occurring.
That's incredible.
Okay? So if it is just for participating in a Pistons game, you have a divine presence there. You could imagine what kind of divine presence is around when people are sitting and actually doing something Jewish.
Indeed.
But anything that says, you know what? I exist. Hashem says, okay, you exist. Go ahead and try, buddy. You're on your own.
Have a nice time. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. What happens now? Well, he's not getting his chayas straight from the holiness of Hashem.
Right.
We talked about before the whole idea of Seder Histalshalus, and that what happens is our soul goes through a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And okay. In our generation, our soul is so processed that it resembles Velveeta. Okay. But
if we're lucky,
but still, the person's to do on the up and up, so the godliness which is connected to that person is going through the same process.
So it's at least good value.
Yeah. I know it's an oxymoron, you know, but then again you could say, yeah, good oilam hazeh is also an oxymoron. Yes,
exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's receiving its life force straight from God. But what happens now? A person decides that they're going to connect themselves to some Dover Nifra. They're going to connect themselves to something which is separate from Elokus. And we define that separate from Elokus means anything in opposition to Hashem's will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what on a grand scale, what is it that makes things opposite to Hashem's will is, well, what's the ultimate purpose of Hashem's will in creation of the world?
For Him to be revealed.
Is a dir b'tachtonim, is a dwelling place below.
Right.
So anything which is going to be is going to prove to be counter-indicative to a dir b'tachtonim is going to be, therefore, separate from Hashem.
Right.
So if a person decides that they're going to connect themselves to that, then they are receiving their life force not directly from Kedusha like they were before, but now what they did is they unplugged the Chayas, which is coming directly to them.
Right.
They stuck it into the Klippa.
Right.
The Klippa is now getting all the Chayas.
And they're getting the leftovers.
And they're getting their leftovers. And the Chayas that the Klippos is giving them is just enough life force to sustain them, so that to sustain that individual, so that he can continue doing something wrong, so that he can sustain the Klippos more.
Right.
So the more that he's doing wrong, the more he's sustaining the Klippos. Okay. So the So what the, it says that when a Jew marries a non-Jew,
yes,
the klippas dance, is what it says.
Uh-huh.
Now, klippas dancing. Dancing takes a lot of energy.
Yes, it does.
It's not just that, oh, we're so happy we got this Jew marrying a non-Jew. No. By this Jew marrying this non-Jew,
right,
there is you couldn't really get a whole lot more of a person's essence involved in anything doing wrong than being married to something which is Yainet Chayas from Klippa.
Uh-huh.
And so what's happened now is this person is giving tremendous amount of Chayas to the Klippas, such that the Klippas are getting continually stronger. And then when that person has kids, let's say, for example, it's a man marrying a woman. So talking about strengthening the Klippas, all the kids aren't Jewish. So there's a tremendous increase in the Klippa.
Right.
There is a story, you should tell the story at the end of chapter 8. Because there at the end of chapter 8, he talks about a person engaged in an illicit relationship and having a momser that it's almost impossible in a Jew, because you can feel sorry all you like, but the moms are sitting right
the
there.
The moms exist, right.
Okay. So generally I tell the story there, but I could use it in this context too. It's a famous story, and the name of the story is Yosef Balagola. Balagola's wagon driver.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's a very long story, and it appears in a book called Pokeach Ivrim, which was written by the Mittler Rebbe.
Okay.
And the Mittler Rebbe wrote it for the, I don't know if you want to call him the hero of the story, but the protagonist in the story.
Okay.
What happened? There was just to cut out most of the details, otherwise it becomes a 45-minute story. You're thinking that you heard this story.
Go ahead.
There was an Alter Rebbe had a chassid by the name of Yosef Kolbo. Okay. Kolbo means a warehouse. Literally means everything's in it.
Uh-huh.
Why they call him Joe Warehouse is because he had a mind that was a warehouse. He had everything in there.
Everything.
Okay.
Fair enough.
He was offered a job as, I think, Rav of Bashankovitz, which is a fairly nice-sized city in Lithuania, and walking in Yechida, should he take the job in Bashankovitz? And Alter Rebbe told him, become a wagon driver. And he's listening, that wasn't on the piece of paper. Wait a minute, that wasn't one of the choices.
What are the options?
What do I know? He says, Rabbi, what do I know about becoming a wagon driver? And he says, it's not very hard. Look at the people who are wagon drivers. You go out, it'll take care of a couple of ferdlach and a wagon over there. Become a wagon driver. Okay? And for years he would come back for shavuos, and he would ask the Rebbe, can I please stop being a wagon driver? And the Rebbe would tell him no. Okay?
Wow.
For years and years and years and years. Once happened that he had a job of taking somebody from point A to point B,
right,
and they're going through like a valley area, and they got hit by a snowstorm. Story doesn't make sense. I have to go back and look at it again, because maybe it was a snowstorm. Yeah, and the guy got sick.
The wagon driver.
The guy he took with him. What was happening is this guy that is the passenger, since he was being Yosef Kolbos, he's talking to him. He finds out the guy's Jewish. Mm. He's married to a non-Jew, and he's got 5 non-Jewish kids. Okay, and he's talking to him about Yiddishkeit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and he gets snowed in, and he gets hit. And the guy gets sick. Okay? And he's getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And he thinks this guy, this is they don't know what to do. He's getting so sick. Word comes by that his family was like crossing over a river or something like that.
Right.
And they fell in and they all died.
All died.
And the doctors didn't want to tell him that his family had died. But Yosef Kolbo said this is what he wanted to hear.
He
told
to
them,
right,
your family died. Hashem accepted your tshuva. Okay? So he went up at that time. I'm missing a lot of the details. Tons.
Mm.
That time he went to them. Yosef Kolbo now schlepped him to the Mittler Rebbe.
Mm.
And the Mittler Rebbe wrote him a book. This guy. Call it Pokeach Ivrim. He's the one who opens the eyes of the blind.
Mm.
On how to do tshuva. And specifically in reference to sexual contacts. And, with correcting the things that you did wrong till now.
Right.
So, Yosef Kolbo went to the Mittler Rebbe.
Yeah.
And he said, before my father died, he told me that sometime you're going to come in here with a guy. and who was going to have this whole misa with kid people dying. And you should tell him now that he's done being a wagon driver. He should go be the Rav of Vilna now. It's much bigger than Bashankar is. Okay, so that's the story. So now, this is, now, so for a person can always do tshuva.
Right.
Okay, it's the point of the story is that sometimes it's really hard to do tshuva. Because what happens is when a person is attached to the forces of evil,
right.
What tshuva means is I am detaching from the forces of evil.
Right.
And I am reattaching to Kedusha.
Right.
That's what tshuva does. It's a reconnect. Right. That means that
right.
What? You know, listen,
right.
It gets very comfortable.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
Right.
Well, Avraham Lipsky used to say, why is it so hard to toilet train kids? A little kid, why is it so hard to toilet train him? Because a kid goes to the bathroom in his diaper. It's warm, it's squishy, it's comfortable. Okay, to you it doesn't, to the kid it doesn't smell. You know, everybody else in the world, the kid's stinking up the entire room, okay? But that's what it is, it stinks. Okay? But to you, it's the same thing. When a person is involved with Klippa, everybody else, you say, listen, buddy, you're stinking up the joint. He says, what are you talking about? It's wonderful. It's
nice.
It's warm. It's comfortable.
I'm happy, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
If Klippa would be packaged in such a way that it was disgusting and gross,
no one
people
would
do
involved.
It.
Right. Yeah.
You know, simple as, you know, says. So
right.
Remember by one of these classes, Avraham Lipsky taught a class on Agiras Atshuva. He was very big on that with these, they had older Bacharim that were coming in and they were involved with all kinds of, who knows what they were involved with.
Sure.
I mean, I was 17 years old, they ripped me out of high school when they got me, but,
yeah.
You know. So, these guys, they were like, you know, they had done some serious stuff over
sure,
here. So
sure,
he was
of course.
Really big on the Tshuva stuff. He used to learn Agiras Atshuva
right.
With this commentary, that commentary.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure.
So one guy says, Rabbi Lipsker, why is it that Hashem made Shiksa so good looking?
Uh-huh.
So Avraham Lipsker said, if they looked like cows, would you want to go to bed with one? Of course not. Yeah, so. So the so when a person then attaches themselves to Klippa, so they're detaching themselves to from Kedusha. You can only be attached in one place.
Right, right. You only got one plug.
That's it. Okay?
That's it.
And it's your choice. So he's not getting his life force from the inner sanctity of the essence and being of Hashem. He uses the expression from behind the back.
Right.
And there's an example given of like a way a person takes care of a POW.
Mm-hmm.
POWs don't get steak.
No.
Yeah. Okay, and whatever they do get, it's just enough because, listen, you have the tenets of the Geneva Convention that say you got to feed the guy, keep him alive, you're not allowed to starve him.
Right.
And, okay, good.
Right.
So, I know a guy who was a POW in Japan someplace, on one of those little Japanese islands for 3 years.
Mm.
Till this day, he does not eat rice.
I imagine
even,
he doesn't.
Do not put it on my plate. He doesn't want it.
I can't imagine so, yeah.
He said for 3 years, that's all he ate was rice.
Sure,
yeah. That what happens, how does this life force, he calls it behind the back.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, the highest which is coming from Kedusha, everything's coming from God.
Right.
But the highest descends from level to level, myriads upon myriads of levels through a whole chain reaction, which every step is not only just a quantitative diminution, it's a qualitative diminution as well. And this is going on countless numbers of times through the whole cause and effect process. Until that the chayas is so diminuted, level after level, until that we would say that the godliness is in exile. What does exile mean? What does gullus mean? Gullus means that it can't affect what it's supposed to do. Where is the divine presence? We know it says Kishiyardu LaAdam Shechina Imayim. When the Jews went down to Rome, the divine presence went with them.
Right.
So where's the divine presence? The divine presence is right here.
It's right here.
Where? The answer is you can't see it, not like in the Beis Hamikdash,
right.
Is because it, like we, are in Gullus. That's the definition of Gullus.
Right, right, right.
The definition of Gullus is that godliness is not revealed. How do you know you're in Gullus? If you're not seeing any godliness, you're in Gullus.
Guess what, yeah.
And that godliness now, which is so bedecked, is covered over inside that thing which is separated from Hashem, to enliven it and keep it going. You know, listen, people can live their whole lives very happily being attached to Klippa. What percent of the world isn't? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so that it shouldn't go back to the nothing and void from whence it came. I had to look some stuff up today. I was looking up some various Heckscher stuff.
Mm.
So I got this article written, I don't know, it was like 1990,
mm.
on the truth about the U and the K. It was written by a Christian rabble rouser, and he called it the Jewish tax. He said, why do Christians have to pay this Jewish tax? He said, how many people in this country are keeping kosher anyway? And I thought to myself, you know, he's got a point.
That part hurts.
There are 300 million people in this country.
Right.
Okay? There are 5 or 6 million Jews.
Right.
Okay? There are less than a million Jews that keep kosher.
Yeah.
Okay? There are less than a million people in this country that keep kosher. And you look around you. At this point, it's pretty hard to find, except for things that are inherently not kosher.
That's fact.
Products that are don't have supervision.
That's right.
Okay, it's probably over $1 billion industry. It's probably a multi-billion dollar industry kosher at this point. You know,
yeah.
So a person could live very, very happily in Gullus.
Yeah.
Okay, wouldn't even realize that they're in Gullus. Because how many people, like I say, how many people just realize that they're in Gullus? We're so much in Gullus, we don't even know we're in Gullus.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we, who know we're in Gullus,
don't realize that we're in Gullus either. No.
You know, we got it great, you know.
We hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah, we're in Gullus.
We're in Gullus, you know.
We don't get it. Or maybe it should. Maybe I should. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, we really don't. Especially in this country. Baruch Hashem.
Come on.
You get little things over here. I had J.J. Hecht on my show. Not J.J. Hecht. Shia Hecht on my show.
Yeah.
He's one of the organizers of the Defense Fund for Shalom Rabashkin.
Yeah.
Okay, he's very involved with getting people over to South Dakota to be participant in the crowd, to share the unity.
Right.
Okay, so I had him on my show. And I said, okay, tell us about this court case. And he says, before I tell you about anything, let me just let you know. If you didn't think that there's a double standard in this country, think again.
Uh-huh.
Okay, is there anti-Semitism in this country? You betcha.
Sure.
Okay, of the 9 facilities that were raided on that couple of weeks that the INS went into all those meatpacking plants,
mm-hmm.
that agri-processor wasn't even the biggest one. They arrested 1,200 illegals in San Diego at a Swift Premium plant.
Yeah.
The only one who was prosecuted was the Jew. Okay, and he said even further, there was a whole money laundering scandal in New Jersey a couple months ago. I don't know if you heard about it.
No.
Okay, and it involved 3-4 dozen politicians, and it involved a whole group of guys from the Syrian community, including the chief rabbi of the Syrian community, 80-year-old rabbi.
I didn't hear about that.
Okay, he said the people were charged with the same crime. The Jews were put on 3 times the bail as the non-Jews. Okay, so if you don't think it's a double standard, you say, it's not just Jews, it's, you know, it's everybody across the board. You know, this is a country where if you're not part of the good old boys network, you're on the outside looking in, because there's still plenty more of them than there are of us. Because even if you put all the minorities together in this country, they're still a minority compared to the majority.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't go back to being nothing. That's why we call this world Umalei Olam HaKlipas V'Sitra Achra. This world is called the world filled with Klipa and Sitra Achra. It talks about it in the various different worlds. You have in Atzilus, you have a very fine Klipa, which becomes the source of Klipa eventually. Because what do you have in Atzilus? Atzilus is godliness. God with his Achayas is one. God with the Kalim is one. So it says there's a pasuk at the end of Parshas. I guess these Parshas can confuse. Vayishlach, Vayesha, Vayetze. Where it talks about Besuel's offspring, which that is at the end of. I don't remember. It told us, I think. And it lists there that there was a Pelegish, that Besuel had a Pelegish by the name of Ruma. I personally cared that Besuel had a concubine by the name of Ruma. What do I care? Okay, so Ruma means, if you break it into component parts, we'll see what will be. Ma always refers to like Kayach Ma, the power of the potential, the Kayach of Chachma. Okay. So even in Chachma of Atzilus is a little trace of Klipa. It's called the Ru'uma. It's the source from what all, let's see what kind of potential Klipa can we eventually develop from this. Okay? So now what happens? You get to the world of Bria. In Bria, what happens is you have things that are recognizing themselves as a Metzias.
Yes.
You have a Neshama that says, I'm a Neshama, and you have a Malach Mechoyel, a Malach Gavriel, etc., that say, I'm the Malach Mechoyel, I'm the Malach Gavriel.
Right, right.
So as soon as you have things that are identified as separate entities,
as an entity, right.
Now you've got separation. As soon as you have separation, you have Klipa. Okay? Then you come down into the next step, into Yetzirah. And it says Yetzirah is half and half. Half Klipa, half Kedusha. And you come down to this world it says is Rubikakulei Ra. For the most part, there's just little sparks of holiness in the world, but for the most part, the world is unkosher. You look, you'll see 7 billion people and 16 million Jews. Okay, there's not a whole lot of Kedusha out there.
Not a whole lot.
Okay, and it's not as far as things that are Klipas Noga even. Klipas Noga also is a vast minority compared to Sholosh Klipas at Temeis. There are a lot more things in the world that you can't put in your mouth than you can.
Well, yeah, or just, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why we call this world filled with Klipa and Sitra Achra. That's why all the deeds of this world are difficult and evil, and the wicked dominate in it, as is explained in Eitz Chaim Sharman Beis, Seif Perek Dalet. The Shpoel Zeta used to say, you know who Shpoel Zeta was, yeah? Okay, used to say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, look what you did over here. You put the Torah in a book, and you put the Yetzer Hara in people's hearts, and then you tell them, follow the book.
They have a good time.
Okay? If you were to put the Yetzer Hara in a book, and put the Torah in the hearts, yeah, and then tell them, follow the hearts, yeah, now you'd have no complaints. What kind of complaints can you have against people?
Yeah.
They're just following what you gave them. That's what they're going with. So it says now, so this world is totally, completely evil. But we have the unification property over here. It says in the note, which we can do this note very quickly because this note actually, if it's long, it's actually one statement. You have this world, which is, for the vast majority, evil. But contained in this world are the 10 spheres of holiness of Asiya, as it says in Eitz Chaim Sharim Mem Nigimel. And what's inside the 10 spheres of Asiya? The 10 spheres of Yetzirah. And what's inside the 10 spheres of Yetzirah? The 10 spheres of Bria. And what's inside the 10 spheres of Bria? The 10 spheres of Atzilus. And what's inside the 10 spheres of Atzilus is the infiniteness of Hashem. So that means we would do it as such that if it would be that we had a spiritual microscope, we could zoom in over here on this table, okay, and we'd look deep into it, and we'd say, Kedusha.
Kedusha.
And that's the strength of the little part of the Gemara. Oh, there's Bria, a little strength of the little more. There's Atzilus. Oh, there's the infiniteness of Hashem, because the infiniteness of Hashem is contained in this table.
Right.
We have a very good example that he didn't have when he wrote the Tanya, and that's atoms, and subatomic particles, and quarks, and energy pots. Okay? Because this table is indeed made out of quarks.
Sure.
But what we see is we see a table.
Right.
But where's the quarks? The quarks are right here. Okay, so where's Atzilus? Atzilus is not out there.
It's here.
Atzilus is contained within the thing. If you would peel back the label of Asiya, you would see you'd see Yetzira. We don't.
Right.
Okay, the Rebbe Rashab once was sitting in Fabrengik.
Mm.
Okay, the way the Fabrengik went once the yeshiva was established is, you know how it was with the Rebbe's Fabrengik? You had the long table, right? So they had a long table. And had the Rebbe Rashab sitting on one side of the table, and the Friedrich Rebbe, his son, sitting at the other side of the table.
Mm.
And the Fabrengik was their discussion back and forth.
Uh-huh.
That was the Fabrengik.
Uh-huh.
So once happened that the Rebbe Rashab picked up a plate off the table and asked the Friedrich Rebbe, should I show the Dvar Havaya, the godliness which is enlivening this plate, to the crowd? And the Friedrich Rebbe said no, because people will just take it as some kind of trick, a stunt.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but meaning what? The godliness is there. Because later on, the Friedrich Rebbe wrote that he had regret and remorse because he realized that many people could have been helped by such an experience.
Wow.
You know, you think this is a time when you had social upheaval over there, socialism and social Zionism and communism, you know, so. So it comes out that the infiniteness of Hashem is found where? Right here in this very room, folks.
Right.
By being clothed through this whole creation process, which we call the four worlds.
Right.
As explained in Eis Chaim, Shar Mem Zayin, Perek Beis, the Sefer Gogol, and Perek Chav. Elisha HaKlippas Hein Nechlokin L'Shtei Madregas. Okay, so he says, the only thing is that it's not lost. Because you give now, you're going to close the book now. That's it. Farfallen. We'll never get ahead. That's what we're left with right now. We're living in schmutz,
right.
And we're never going to climb out of the schmutz.
Right,
he says, no. Don't get so excited.
Yeah.
There's two levels of klippa.
Uh-huh.
We're going to end the chapter on the worst one. Okay?
Good.
The first level of klippa is the lower level.
Right.
L'shtei madrega, zulamata mezu. Madrega tachtenis hu sholosh klippas atameis v'roes l'gamri. You have three completely unclean levels of klippa.
And I've never seen
it discussed anywhere. Each individual klippa. There are three unclean klippas. Okay?
Right.
But they always come as a package.
Uh-huh.
I have never seen it discussed. Well, this is klippa number one, this is klippa number two, this is klippa number three. No. It's three unclean klippas. Shalosh klippas atameis. Where does a pig get its chayas from? It's not from klippa number one. And a camel gets its chayas from klippa number two.
Uh-huh.
A pig gets its chayas from shalosh klippas atameis. They work all three together as one deal. Ve'ein behem tov klal. They have no good in them whatsoever. Which you have to qualify that and say, well, they have this spark of godliness which is keeping them in alive.
Right.
And it's up to the tzaddik to be able to be mavayir the kedusha which is contained within the klippa.
Okay.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
The Nikra Markavas Yecheskel, and in the Markav of Yecheskel, which the chariot of Yecheskel was a parable for the way that the Chayas comes down into this world. And in it is included also, because you have the four animals, which the animals over there, you have the Chayas for the wild animals, and for the domesticated animals, and for the birds and fish, and for the animal soul of man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then around it, it said you had a Ruach Sa'ara, Va'anan Godel, you had a thunder cloud, and a tornado, and a whirlwind, and it says around that was a Noga, is what it says. When you flip his Noga, is the next thing, which is a shine. The censor, when he went through it, insisted that any book being printed in Russia in the late 1700s have nothing disparaging about Russians and non-Jews.
Really?
Okay, so they changed the world from the word from nefashas ha'umas ha'ilam, from the nations of the world, to the souls of the idol worshippers. Uh-huh. So Russians don't consider themselves to be idol worshippers. You must be talking about pagans who lived 2,000 years ago.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But in the back, in the Luach HaTikun, so it says over there, no, change it to umas ha'ilam. The souls of the non-Jews, the kiyam gufim in their bodies, come from complete evil. The nefashas kol bali chayma tameyas asuras ba'achila, the kiyam gufim. Same thing with all unkosher animals.
Uh-huh.
Why can't you eat a pig? Well, because it comes from sholosh klipos tameyas, and any kind of kedusha that's contained within it, you're not going to be able to release from the klipa.
Right.
The kiyam b'chayas kol malacha ma'acholos asuras ma'hatsameyach. And so too also any type of forbidden food which comes from the vegetable kingdom, like fruit from a tree which is less than 3 years old.
Oh, okay, fine.
Which is not even batel b'shishim, it's batel in 200. And klei hakarim is diverse species which are planted in a single field.
Okay.
But those are forbidden to be eaten.
Right.
And if they get mixed in, the whole thing becomes unkosher. If you have an Orla apple and 70 non-Orla apples,
it doesn't make a difference.
They're all non-kosher.
Wow.
Because of Eitz Chaim, Sharmim Tes Perek Vav. Now, the clincher over here, as it's related to us, that's all very well and good. I can stay away from an Orla apple. That's not so hard.
Can we?
Orla apples? Yeah, because fruit trees don't really produce fruit within the first 3 years. Where you do have problems is if they graft a branch.
That's where I was going with the grafted branch, because there's so many trees.
If you graft a branch, that branch now becomes, you have to start now at year one. You're starting over again with that branch.
Really?
Yeah. But I think it only applies to fruit from Eretz Yisrael anyway.
Oh, really?
Mistaken. Yeah.
No, my concern was the grafting of different types of trees together. Because I know that's done.
You're allowed to eat those, by the way.
You are.
You're allowed to eat a tangelo or a pluet.
I knew you. I don't know
about grapples. Grapples are weird. You can't make them.
We can't do it. We can't
make them. You can't make them.
But we can eat them, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if I would eat a grapple.
What's a grapple?
It's a cross between a grape and an apple.
Where the heck have you seen such a
thing? I have. They're out there.
Are you serious?
I didn't make up the word.
Wow.
A grapple.
A grapple?
It's a purple apple.
Seriously?
And I'm not sure if it's grafted or genetically engineered.
It has to be crossbred, yeah, somewhere. Because I don't think you...
I don't know.
How could you
graft... Well, if you grafted a grapevine onto a tree, an apple tree, would it grow apples? I'm not so sure.
No, it wouldn't. You'd have to... Because the pollen are... You'd have to engineer the pollen. It's probably
biologically engineered. So.
Yes, that's weird.
But it just seemed weird, you know. It's like
that's,
you know,
weird. I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
That's hard.
You don't go shopping. I haven't seen them in a market for in a while. Maybe they were an experiment that didn't work.
Grapple?
Wow. Grapple. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Strange.
Now, so here's what's no gay to us. You can't kiam the highest call ma'isa diber makshava shel kol shesal loisasiv anfehim kamosher vodav sham save parakeh. And so too it is with also the fulfill the existence and the chayas of every action, speech, and deed, which would fit into the category of 365 prohibitions and their branches, as explained at the end of Parakeh.
Right.
So every sexual fantasy that a person ever had, Shalosh Klippas Itameyas, the guy's getting his life force straight from Klippa.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to be continued on that note. Chapter 7 next time.
All right, good, good, good.